Astrid's joining us from Aberdeen, and Astrid is a doctor, and she runs her own occupational mental health clinic and is working in the oil and gas and diving industry. She's worked in aviation medicine, so quite a vast experience there. And we're inviting her to talk about workplace conflict. It seems unavoidable. There's always somebody you meet that somehow is able to get under your skin. And so we're inviting her to share some tips and understanding. How is it that we can understand each other even if we don't agree? Is there a common ground there for us to explore? How do we deal with difficult behavior calmly? Is it possible to turn conflict into opportunity for growth and collaboration? Can we create and maintain a healthy workplace environment? And so I'm inviting Astrid to take over, but before she starts speaking, just to tell you that Astrid's going to speak and then do a short meditation, just 3 minutes. And after the 3 minutes of meditation, she's going to be taking your questions. So please send in your questions through the question and answer link, and I will be putting your questions to Astrid after that. Thank you. Astrid, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Artie. I'm really honored to be here, part of everybody else, and to meet everybody in this virtual way, which has now become something we've become quite accustomed to during this last year. And so I think my background, I'm in occupational medicine, so I deal with people who have been experiencing stress. And actually, stress in the workplace often. But actually, over the last year, I've seen very few of these cases. And obviously, we're in a situation now where we have been working maybe from home, we have been Zooming, we have been probably been able to have a good life home balance. And we've also not come too close to those we work with. And we've been able to set boundaries. I think many have worked much harder because the time that normally they would be traveling has been time spent at work straight away. And I think we're all looking forward to come back to the workplace, which has happened for some and will be happening for many others in the weeks to come. I myself, during this pandemic, I worked most of it. So I was actually able to work, but I think, like many others, it was much, much harder. In our clinic, there has been a lot of changes in staff, which again, probably gives an indication that there is either some conflict or there is unsettledness. And I think if we look back in this last year, there have been a lot of unsettled situations. People have also decided what they're going to do, and they've actually been able to decide what they want. Whereas maybe in the past, they were very much just following day to day and getting into a job and just turning up and just going through the rat race in a way. However, conflict happens, particularly when people come together, because we are all different. Maybe we have different agendas, we have different needs. And conflict arises when we do not understand each other. My aims are not in alignment with the aims of everybody else. And one thing that I have actually learned is that if one doesn't set boundaries, then it's very difficult to actually maintain even control of the situation that's happening. Recently there were no conflicts, but one of our administrators just left. And initially I was a bit disappointed because it had been working quite well. But obviously this person had other plans for her life. And so she decided to now set up for herself, which is a great thing. And move on and build her own business. And so initially, as I said, I was a little bit annoyed and disappointed. But then I thought about an analogy. And the analogy is of a train that leaves London and makes its way up to Aberdeen. And I get onto the train in London. And other people come with me onto the train. And then we reach Milton Keynes. Some people come on, some people come off. And we continue and we go further up. Birmingham, Doncaster, York, Newcastle. And every time the train stops, more people come on. And more people go off as they need for their own life. And so at some stage, the train will arrive in Aberdeen, and the people that were meant to do the whole journey from London to Aberdeen will be there, but there might be also others that have just joined recently, and that is absolutely fine. And so what I realized is that I have to be grateful for every person that joins that journey and, helps along, goes along and contributes to that journey. So I think one of the nicest things and most important things is really to find a way to have people that will actually be part of your journey. And so for that, you really need a shared vision. And that's actually something quite difficult to ask others to have, because they might have their vision and it might not be what they want. And so conflict really happens when our visions are not aligned. And it's not that easy to actually create that shared vision. And to create that shared vision, we have to actually work on it. We have to communicate. And some people are just not that good communicators. And in the workplace, this has to be by building a community of professionals. And a community of professionals is coming together of people who have similar aims in life, but also who respect each other and who, for what they are and what they can contribute, are valued, because everybody likes to be valued. And so really to find a shared vision, to build a community of professionals who have similar aims and objectives, we need to start, we need time to explore it. We have to have that intention to make a difference. And also the desire to help and support others. And I think conflict often also happens when people have their own agenda and want to force it through no matter what. And so it leaves oneself. Really, we all want to have a peaceful existence. We all want to be feeling happy at work. We want to be fulfilled. We want to have a nice work home balance. We want to come to work fresh and full of enthusiasm and wanting to make a difference. And so where do I find that sense of meaning and that purpose in my life or in my work? Because this is about work. Where do I actually find that respect and that silent understanding, that understanding between one human being and the other? You know, and for that, I need to be open. I need to be open to ideas. I need to, nowadays we wear masks all the time. And so we see the eyes of the others much more. And the eyes have to express a goodness, a wish to help and to support that maybe doesn't come across to words. You know, in essence, conflict is when we don't get on, when our agendas are different. And sometimes people will come and will contribute, and sometimes people will go, and that's okay. So at the end, I remain as the detached observer, but I have to hold a dream, an intention to help and to support. And one has to be strong during that time. Yeah. So what do I do in my life to actually support that strength and that resilience that otherwise it is so easy to lose? You know, it's like sand in my hand. If I open my hands, if I allow any weakness to come in, it just runs away. And so to be at work is actually a great opportunity, because we meet others and we share quite a significant time of our lives with others. And so I think I have to prepare myself every day to meet others with that intention of benefiting them, of that intention of supporting them. I myself have to build that confidence to want to give and to contribute and to be able to give regularly. And for that, you know, I have to look after myself as well. Whenever others are around me and encourage communication, and not fight. I think my experience is that when one fights with somebody else, then nobody wins. There's never a good outcome out of that. But really try and understand others and see their viewpoint. And from there, help them to achieve their dreams. If their journey is a different one, then that's fine. Just to allow them to go on that journey and to create whatever they want. Because our life is a great opportunity to do and to create. And there are certain ways and means of dealing with conflict in the workplace, but I find them sometimes quite alienating. Yes, one can put up grievances. One can actually go the legal way, but I have not found really that to be very, very useful at times. There's a process called mediation, by which the two parties sit together and discuss whatever has happened. And that at times works, you know. For myself, I think what I have had, I remember at the very beginning of my career, I was working in the hospital, and one of the consultants didn't like me. And maybe I just, whatever, there's always two hands that you need to clap. And so I didn't know why that was happening. And so there was a conflict situation in a way. You know, maybe I was not up to the standard or up to the expectation of that consultant. And so rather than feeling afraid, I actually, in my mind, every time I met this consultant, in my mind, I gave him roses. I actually listened to whatever he had to say. And if there was something that he did not agree with, I made the best I could. I went home and I read everything up, and I made sure that I can fulfill this area and I can do the best I can. So I think there's a lot of goodwill that is required when there's a conflict situation. Because many times somebody starts to actually give allowances and start to relax in a conflict situation, and the other one starts to become more active. And it's just sometimes the timing doesn't work out, and therefore people just clash. And so let me be actually the one who actually changes the whole atmosphere, who changes the situation. And so what I did in that situation, I actually remember that at that time I would go to work. It was a stressful day, but I managed quite well. And then afterwards I went and went swimming and did things to relax myself. And often while I was swimming, I would actually start to have solutions coming into my mind. And so you need to create, if there's a conflict situation in the workplace where people's expectations are not met, where people disagree, then it is good just to create some space. And I often also realized, I used to go from the hospital straight to the seaside, and I had some rollerblades. And as soon as I was starting to rollerblade along the seaside, I realized that actually I was smiling. And I realized how the situation had affected me. But to cut a long story short, actually, that consultant was the one who actually promoted me ahead of many others at some stage. And I managed to do everything as I needed to. So I think we need to build that confidence in ourselves when we're faced with a conflict situation in the workplace. And we need to create that inner peace. Find meaning, find purpose, relax, forgive and forget. You know, I remember once I just I just said in my mind to this person, I'm really sorry, whatever I've done, but I forgive you. And actually things started changing. So one has to be in a conflict situation, has to be the one who actually makes that first step to change the situation. And I remember a friend of mine who was a geologist here in one of the oil companies. And there was a colleague with whom he always had conflict. When he said A, the other one would say B. And when the other one said B, he would say A. You know, there was always disagreement. And so whenever they went for a meeting, the other one was expected to be aggressed and contrary and you know, and put down. And so one day, this friend of mine actually decided not to engage in that conflict. And so the other person, his colleague, was presenting a project. And he was a friend, my friend was sitting there and saying, no, this is never going to work. There's a fault here, there, and so on. And the other one was expecting to be aggressed, but he wasn't. And just at the end of the meeting, when there was suggestions to be given, he just said, my friend just said, have you thought about this aspect? Do you think that could be changed? And then that wouldn't happen. And that made his colleague think. And he actually came after the meeting to him and asked him how he could solve that situation. And so when we open ourselves, when we don't just think about ourselves, but also understand where others are coming from, when we find the communality, when we find actually understanding, when we are accommodating, when we tolerate, but also stay by the rights, you know, we need to have boundaries, we have to have clarity, but we also have to be sort of predictable. You know, the other ones should be able to expect to be treated well. They should expect what the reaction or what the need is. Then as a community of professionals, when everybody knows what they have to do, it can work well together. And when we all respect the specialities of the others and work together as a team, then actually that teamwork becomes fun. It becomes a place where we actually feel safe and we feel that we can contribute and we enjoy work. And why should we not enjoy work? It's actually part of our life. A significant part of our life. But work is also a place where we contribute, where we give. And I think every human being wants to give, wants to contribute, wants to create something beautiful in this life and something beautiful that everybody else can benefit from. And so to recognize the specialities of others, to actually allow and respect the specialities of others and my own specialities, and to have the aim of really be part of a team, as a team work well together. Another friend of mine, he was a colleague, he actually joined the police. And in the training as a policeman, they had to march together. And initially he didn't like it at all, you know, to be forced to march in a certain way, everybody doing everything at the same time. But at the end, he loved this aspect of marching together. And so when we all move together in the same direction, we are not just strong, we're not just beautiful, but we are actually very effective. We all enjoy that working together. So we're coming now of a time of lockdown. There are still many who are working from home. And so on their return, you know, how will we greet each other? What newness do we want to bring into the workplace? Perhaps before the pandemic, there were difficulties and conflict situations. But am I strong enough just to put them aside and turn a fresh page? We've come through this together. How will we actually work together as a team and really create together? And I think when we're in that team mode, it is not the individual that is the one that makes the difference. Everybody in the team is important, like a chain. Its strength is actually connected on the strength of even the smallest and the weakest link. And yes, things will change. I think when we look, for example, at how things happen in the world, when there is new aspects that come into our lives, yes, I think our society is changing. There will be people who will continue to work from home because it is actually quite nice to work from home. However, there's also a benefit of coming together. Some professions will be able to work from home and continue doing that. And in fact, I know many of my clients, they are actually already, they've taken all the worktops away, all the desktops away. And it's just docking stations for the laptops and big buildings just there for meetings and for certain days at work. And our society definitely has changed. We have changed. And but what is it that I bring back into the team? How do I contribute in the team? And what is my intention in doing that? When I am in a conflict situation, then it's very important that I decide how I'm going to respond to it. And when I want to respond to it, it is extremely important in my opinion that we actually come from a place of goodness, of generosity, a place of wanting to create together. And as human beings, coming together is also the place where we actually learn the most and, get to know others very well. So yes, our workplaces have changed nowadays. The old norm will be coming back to some extent. I think in either way, that human contact and that coming on together, getting on together is very, very important. I have to feel very safe inside myself. And I have to recognize the needs of others at the same time. So, yes. And conflict in the workplace is a really important thing to solve. And we can do that by listening. We can do that by recognizing other specialties. We can do that by giving opportunities to others, because we know that when we give opportunities, we also grow. By having fun and not always being serious. And that's something that we all have to learn. And explore possibilities, share whatever expertise we have. Because if I keep things for myself, then Nobody's going to benefit. It's only going to last for as long as I last. And create a community of professionals that respect and get on together. So for a reflection, I would like you to just to make sure that you're sitting in a very comfortable way. You have to sit straight and yet relaxed. And perhaps you can start relaxing yourself from your feet up. Feel them nicely ground onto the ground, onto the earth, stable. And just as you move up your body, just relax your legs, your knees, your pelvis. Become aware how you take a breath in and out. When you take a breath, just feel how your lungs expand. And as they recoil at the end of the breath, as you let your air out, just let any tension out, any concern, any fear, anything. And just feel that you're in a safe place, that you are valued and loved, that whatever you can contribute, you do that with your heart and with your mind. And that whatever you do it with your best intention. You look forward into the day that you're going to be at work. And so imagine either if you're working from home, how you're going to greet others over Zoom or over the telephone. And if you're going to go to work, how can you greet others when you come in? How are you going to take care of the place? And how much effort with sincere intention you're going to bring into your working day? And if there is a conflict situation, if there's a disagreement, then listen, recognize, and share. Create an environment of lightness, but environment also of understanding, an environment where we're all prepared to learn and to give our best. And just allow yourself to feel as if you're in an extremely safe place, perhaps a beautiful place in nature. You hear the birds singing, the gentle breeze going through the trees, and you see flowers all around you. You're walking perhaps through a park or by the seaside. And you're sending good wishes all over into the world. And by actually creating these good wishes, you actually create a positive energy in yourself. And this positive energy just goes into the environment. And you yourself, as much as everybody around you, benefits. So again, just see yourself sharing positive energy with those around you. See yourself looking into the eyes, and your eyes are expressing good wishes, but also benefit, also encouragement and value. Allow your eyes to be peaceful and not tired or harassed by whatever is happening in your life. But take that moment of peace before interacting and sharing a positive energy with others. It is as if taking down any protections, any barriers, opening up and allowing newness to come into your life. So see that in front of you and share those good wishes with all around you.
Thank you, Astrid. That really took me to another place. That was really lovely. Thank you. I have a few questions that have come in already, if you're ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, when I get upset in an argument, at that moment, I can't stop myself from saying things that could be hurtful. Is there something I can do to catch myself before or during so that I am not creating further conflict?
There's a little story that I remember. And there was this gentleman who had a conflict situation at home. He would arrive home very tired after a long day at work. And when he arrived at home, there was mayhem going on. Food wasn't ready, everything was in disorder, and he would just lose it and start shouting. And so he asked a good friend, and the good friend went into his pocket and said, "Here, take this stone. And when you go home, just put it into your mouth and leave it for 5 minutes." And so the man did so. And what happened is that he was not reacting to situations. And so everybody in his home started to calm down, because also his reacting created part of that situation. And so first of all, when there is a situation of conflict, or then just take a moment. And just wait, don't respond straight away. And also it requires that big effort to see what is the other person's part and to listen. And then perhaps find a way to discuss it and to find a way, a solution that is mutually agreeable. But most importantly, just to stay light and to maintain happiness. At the end, each one of us is valuable and each one's contribution is important. Whatever people, situations come, I often ask myself, is this a situation that is going to be here in the next 5 years? Perhaps the person is not going to be here that long in my life, but what sort of answer will I give to that situation? What sort of flavor will I leave about the situation? So I hope that responds it to some extent.
That's nice. It's very nice. The next question I have for you is, you spoke about forgiving and forgetting. I can mostly forgive somebody, but I don't forget what they've done to me. Is it essential to forgive and forget? Or is forgiving enough?
Yeah, forgiving and forgetting. I think a wise person will never completely forget. But what happens if, for example, there is a situation and I respond in an irritated way, or I respond badly to that person? The other person will remember when that person sees me every time, will always remember that situation. And studies have shown that it takes about 6 months to actually remove that sort of guard that we all create. And so let me first of all, when there is somebody who actually does something to myself and I feel offended, I feel hurt. Yes, I know that that is what has happened and I need to maintain that in my mind. But try to understand also the position of the other person and also what is my contribution to the situation. Have I actually done something? Have I actually not understood? Let me try first to make sure that the platform from where I'm acting is actually a platform where I cannot fault myself. Yeah. And then forgive others for whatever they have done. I need to be aware that that person may always respond in that way. But if actually that person is throwing stones at me and I give them flowers back, they will continue to throw stones for a little while, but at some stage, they will start giving me flowers too. And forgive and forget, yes, forgive. Forget in the way that I don't see that situation every time I see that person, because if I do, then I continue creating a situation of conflict.
That's very wise indeed. Learn from the lesson, but don't hold it against somebody. Wow. Okay, thank you. Next question. The person saying, great talk. I have two questions for you. First, do you reckon working from home increased conflict? So working remotely, has it increased or decreased in your humble opinion?
In my humble opinion, I think it could have done either. Yeah, it could. But I think at least we can switch off Zoom. I think nowadays we do some meetings over Zoom, and initially I had my camera on and now nobody has the camera on. So in a way, we're all creating our boundaries. So I think there's like a buffer space when we're working from home. However, we also we probably miss an aspect of when we work face-to-face. And that is that we get to know others. We might do things together, you know, go have some words at the coffee machine, whatever, or, you know, do part of the journey together, or see and, you know, appreciate something about their life. And actually, we create a community, and it's much easier to create that community. I remember we did actually with another clinic just next to ours. We did an under the radar Christmas party last December. And it was so nice. It was socially distanced. We had masks on, everything. But it was so nice to meet others. I had my first sort of out of in business branch or something like that, and it was so special to meet others again and actually, you know, be in the company of others. So I think There's benefit in both, but I think that a part of returning back to face to face is probably beneficial. But that's my personal opinion and my experience. It's much easier to stay distant if you're not working and not meeting on a day-to-day basis. On the other hand, you don't have to travel, you don't have to put clothes on, although some people might like to get out of their jammies and put some nice working clothes on again. So there's benefit in both. I'm not quite sure if I've answered the question here.
All right. And then the second part of the question, I think you're absolutely right. There's pros and cons of both. And yes, seeing someone face to face is a delight. Seeing them on screen is great, but seeing someone face to face is delightful. Second question, what is your opinion on resolving workplace conflict via email rather than face to face?
I think by email a lot goes missing, and some people can write long emails and others just can't cope with it. I'm one of the second ones. I find it really difficult just to have a ping pong going here and there, and I think it's probably not very conducive to resolve workplace conflicts by emails, because again, possibly I should treat it just the same way as when I write a letter. If I have, I'm upset about something and I write a letter to that person, then the advice is just put it, put it away overnight and then read it tomorrow again. And then send the letter away. And the same is for emails. Sometimes we might be in despair, we are on our own at home. And we are annoyed about something, sometimes it's good just to wait till the next day. And so we don't have that opportunity of meeting and of actually finding out how that person is coming towards us, what their situation is when we do that by email, because we don't know what the situation is. Whereas when we meet face to face, there's an honesty that we can then feel or not feel. And I think that is the power of mediation, where two parties meet together to resolve a workplace conflict. And they should be fairly equal. They can say what is on their hearts, what is on their minds, and then discuss and find solutions. Because if there is a conflict, there's no point of perpetuating that conflict by creating more of angry exchanges. But what is important to say, okay, this situation, I agree, maybe I disagree, but let's find a way together how we can move forward and resolve this. And so there has to be that willingness, but also that interaction. I think by email, it's a bit difficult. Might be possible, but difficult, I guess.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really wise. By all means, write it, but don't send it. Sit on it for a bit. Just give it some space and relook at it with a fresh pair of eyes. Next question. I find someone specific at work always on the defensive and even a little bit aggressive. I love the meditation on feeling safe and wondered, how can I use that to translate and maybe even influence the other person at work? Do I just practice it every day? Is it that simple?
If there's a difficult situation at work and you want to actually start to create an environment which you do through your thoughts, that is peaceful, that is light, that is welcoming, then when you're at home before you leave for work, just project that environment. project that feeling of safety and of team, of working together, but getting on also together, project that into the day. And when you come at work, just sit down quietly, maybe for a minute if you can. Even if, for example, you put things in order and you do this very quietly, so others don't think that you're doing something strange. But just put things in order and prepare for the day. And then whenever, you know, it's important to create that peace inside the self. Also to understand that wherever you're feeling has got a right for being there. But transform it, find solutions, transform it in something peaceful, something beneficial. And it will easily, go and into the atmosphere all around you and will also affect those around. And whenever I speak to that person, let me have that sparkle in my eyes and that recognition. And because sometimes people are insecure, and that is why they might come across in that way. So they have to find themselves too. But by being the one who creates that place of safety, others will want to be there as well. And also invite others, you know, to maybe have a cup of tea together, or, you know, if you're making yourself one, do you want one? You know, create bridges for others to be able to come on as well into the bridge. Yeah.
That's lovely. Thank you. Next question. What if I'm in conflict with a number of people at work? Is it time to leave?
Yeah, well, yes, maybe you can leave, but whatever the problem is will always go with you as well. And so maybe perhaps a conflict situation is an opportunity to learn something about myself and see if I can change it around. It might be that at the end I'm going to still leave. Yeah, it's possible. But yet, what has that situation taught me about myself? Am I right, or are all the other ones right? What is my contribution? So let me go into that place of peace inside and really acknowledge what I'm feeling, but also see what others see. Listen carefully to what they're doing and have that intention to change, to bring newness. And sometimes you cannot change the situation, and then it might be a time to leave. But I think, first of all, I would actually try to change and transform the situation and actually find, yeah, these bridges that I connect with others. Also find out what is it that it's not going well, and what could I do to do it better.
Isn't it interesting? We do carry with us the problems that we experience. I find that fascinating. It's not that we can leave them behind. Here's the next question. Some of us would prefer to continue working from home as it's more effective. Is there a way we can convince our employers?
It just depends on what the needs are at the level of work. And also to be open, maybe to negotiate how the workplace is going to be. I think this is a good time because there is that discussion going on, and to see if maybe you can do part of the week from home, part of the week back at work. But it depends on the line of work and on the requirements at work. But I think, yeah, it's very nice to work from home And I'm sure that employers will now be much more open for even parts, working from home. I'm sure. So it's a form, it's negotiation. And again, that's another way of finding solutions rather than creating conflicts. If I want to work just from home, but my employer wants me just in the office or wherever it is, then a conflict is created. And so, but if I start to negotiate, if I start to bring up what benefits there are for me to working from home, what benefits are for the employer, and if I also humbly accept their needs, and contribute in that way, then I'm sure a solution will be found. Yeah.
How to best use silence in situations to diffuse conflict? You mentioned it takes two hands to clap.
Yeah, I think silence can be used also in a punishing way. But it can also be used in an awareness of creating a space. And it depends on how I use that silence. So if I want to use silence in a very positive way, I listen with intent. I open my heart and I allow the other one to say whatever they have to say. And I'm so open-minded inside myself that others don't feel a barrier or an opposition. And it's through mindfulness. It is through being aware of what their needs are that that silence can be productive. It's not a reaction to something, a quick word or gain. But that silence is an inner peace that I hold inside myself, an inner security that I'm okay and that things around me will be okay if they're not okay just now. And I'm giving space to that person or persons. I just stay focused and contribute as well as I can. So silence, if it is used in a loving way, if it is used in a respectful way, if there is clarity, if there is not other motives, then silence is good. The story of the stone is really not to react. But then, what am I filling myself in inside? What sort of feelings do I have? I have to pay attention to those feelings, and I can recognize those feelings when I'm in silence. So maybe to find a moment where I can just be peaceful. And one can be peaceful even in a very restless place. But for that, my mind has to be very strong and concentrated. And the more I practice this, the stronger it becomes. And so, to be silent, to be peaceful, to fill myself with good wishes, to fill myself with good intentions, with clarity, with honesty and respect. Then that silence is filled with a fragrance that will help diffuse any opposition that there is otherwise.
Wow, that is incredible that we, I'd never thought of silence in that way. That's really beautiful. Thank you. What type of people do not or barely ever have conflict at work?
Sorry, say it again.
What type of people do not or barely ever have conflict at work?
It's very difficult to categorize, but possibly if there's somebody, there will be a variety. There will be a variety. But somebody who is light and happy. I remember working with another colleague, and he was the typical happy-go-lucky sort of guy. He would do anything. I was working in obstetrics and gynecology, and he would go on the tip, the hospital tip, and take old forceps and things like this, and then at home weld them together. But he was fun to be with. He was light. He could be serious, and he could do his job well. He used his energy properly. He had times when he actually had rest times and had fun times, and when he was at work, he was concentrated. So I think possibly somebody who, and he was not, for example, trying to have a revenge or annoyed at somebody. He would just be easy and create buffers everywhere. But he would not also be subservient, because people who are always just wanting to please are the ones who eventually will go into a place of conflict. Whereas if you do things because you live in the now, because that's who you are, that's what you want to share with others, and when you're generous minded, then I think it's less likely to have conflict. It's when there are demands, when there's stress, when there's time difficulties, that conflicts arise, when there's people not obtaining that what they would like to obtain, then there is conflict. Whereas when we share, when we have fun together, when we get to know each other, then actually conflict is less likely and teamwork starts to happen. You like to be with others.
So the next question is, there isn't conflict in the workplace, but a colleague from time to time forgets lots of things because she's having to juggle a lot in her private life with her family and children, etc. How can I approach this person without creating more pressure for them?
I think it's a good way to find ways on how to remember things, and maybe structure things in a way that we're not, you're not forgetting, like something to remember. I don't know what the job is, but maybe support her. Yeah, it's very difficult. You can't actually make other people do, but you can support them. And I think the only way is really to allow them to not forget and to be able to do whatever they have to do. Sometimes when we can help, but sometimes if we help, then that becomes the norm. And so we also need to look, make sure that we can do whatever we have to do. So maybe find a way of discussing things and finding a solution to that. Yeah, finding a solution, discussing it with others, and making sure, and whenever something is forgotten, then really to remind that, but without making that person feel bad.
Interesting.
It's a difficult one, yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes taking on other people's work isn't really helping them at all. It undermines them in a sense, can undermine them. So it's really interesting. Thank you. Can you share some thoughts on creating boundaries that will prevent or avoid conflict?
I think it's still the workplace. And it's not a family home in a way. And so the boundaries would be those of respect, of acknowledgement, not to become familiar. And it's not about being rigid, it's about like this is my place or my pen, my desk, these sort of things. But it's about sharing but maintaining I don't know knowing what the other one needs to do, knowing what you need to do, keeping the boundaries of responsibilities, respecting them on others, I guess. It's about influencing the relationship in a way of having clear communication. This is what is expected, or this is what I would like to do. How can you help me, or can I help you? But it is not familiar. It's not and not to allow like moods to come in. There's friendliness, there is friendship, but it's not we're not hanging out in the pub after work or something like that.
Time and place and the
Time
right
and
people.
place, difficult one, yeah.
Thank you. Wow. So, Astrid, there are many,
Thank
many
you.
thank yous. People are saying very interesting thought-provoking, great questions. So, audience, thank you very much for asking those
Thank
questions.
you very much.
Thank you for sharing the idea of sharing flowers. And I'm looking forward to having lots of flowers to share with others and hopefully receive them. And so, lots of thank yous.